to bring you the Word of God. Let's give Reverend Melvin Sanchez a good God bless you as he comes and ministers the Word of God.
Well, glory to God. I know what y'all thinking. He better give us a title before he gets started. They're going to give me some more monitor. The longer I'm here, the more my voice is leaving. Yeah. I think I left half of it in Ghana. Amen, but I got the other half. Amen. Well, the Lord is good. Who said all the time? That's all right. You know, it's amazing when you watch what the Lord does. You know, He moves in mysterious ways. But thank the Lord He moves. Amen. You know, the Bible talks about striving to enter in. Amen. The only people that get something from God are those who strive to get it. Amen. How many know sometimes there's a labor to enter in? But once you get there, it's easy. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your goodness tonight. We thank you for your mercy. Father, we just ask that you move in the hearts of your people. Lord, let us leave here today even more transformed. For God, you have done wonders in the midst of your people. But oh, Father, we just ask one more time, God, that you would move in our lives corporately, but individually. Father, you know we have need of. And Father, I pray that you meet every need in the house today. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. I'm excited today, Reverend Hamlet, about my assignment. Today we're going to talk about the oil of God or the anointing. Pick your title. Oil of God, anointing, fresh anointing. Hey, your choice. We're going to talk about it because it's something that we lack today. And I believe, as I was praying, and believe it or not, I was going in a whole other direction. I said, that rope, and we talked about it. Right over here, buddy. Right here. Talk about the anointing. And I believe that God is going to anoint us afresh in this house tonight. I'm like so excited to be done because I'm looking for a fresh anointing. And I believe in the midst of that anointing that it will heal whatever it touches. I do believe there are things in our lives that a lot of times we look at other people or we hear about, you know, like A.A. Allen and Jack Cohen, Amy McPherson, and we say, well, I wish I could do some of the things that they did, but it was never them. Amen. But it was the anointing of the Holy Ghost upon a vessel that was yielded unto God. But understanding that many times there are things in our lives that God has to move before we come into a fullness. How many of you know there's different levels to things? How many of you know when you first get saved, you're not as strong as you are as if when you've walked with God for like 15 years? Well, you should be getting stronger. If not, something's wrong. Because the Bible says we go from faith to faith. But how much you get from God is not dependent upon the pastor. It's not dependent upon your mom and dad. And yes, people around you, they play a part. But really, the determinant factor of what you get from God and where you go in God is ultimately up to you. You make a determination every time you walk through that door by your attitude and by your spirit what you're going to receive from God. Somebody says, well, you know, because if you look at your life, and I'm one who holds mine up to a mirror quite frequently, if I'm the same way next year as I am this year, something's wrong. Some part of my life ain't yielded, because there ought to be a growth. There ought to be another level of experience with God. I'm not saying that you're not going to have trials. I'm not saying you're not going to have troubles. I'm not saying you're not going to have some form of tribulation in your life. Those things are common to man. Think it not strange when these fiery trials come upon you, as if something strange is happening to you. No, those things are going to come. But your relationship with God ought to be stronger. Your prayer life ought to be stronger. And your anointing ought to be stronger. Where do you want to go? What do you want to do? And we talked about that the other day, of getting rid of things that hinder you from moving in God. So we want to talk about the anointing, because I want the anointing to increase on my life. Why? Because of what God said. He said in the last days, He said, I'm going to pour out my spirit. This is not a touch. This is a pouring. And wherever there's a pouring, there has to be a vessel, amen, that receives a pouring. And that vessel cannot contain all that God is. So then that tells me there must be an overflow of that which God is pouring out. Uh-huh. And so now I understand that I can do everything that I need to do in my Christian life, because there's a part of my faith that I have to maintain. There's a part of my faith that's mine. When I die, I'm going to take it with me. Because I have a faith that when I'm absent from this body, I am present before God. See, that there's a faith, that's a belief, that's never going to leave me. But then there's faith that God gives me for other things and other people. There's a part of the anointing that comes upon my life for me. There's a part of the anointing that comes upon my life for my family. There's a part of the anointing that comes on my life for ministry. How many of you know the anointing just don't come on people to preach? There's different types of anointings. We'll get there. Because somebody need to be anointed in business. I know y'all don't. Or maybe you just want to go broke for the rest of your life. But how many know God can anoint your business? How many know God can tell a man what to do to make sure that he get the most cattle? How many know God can touch a meal barrel and make sure it produce bread every day for a man of God? How many of you know God can tell a fisherman who's an expert at fishing to drop a net when he fished all night, and when he does it and picks it up in the daylight, it'll be full of fish? How many of you know that God touches natural things and causes spiritual things to happen and manifest right before your very eyes, but we have not really tapped into the fullness of the anointing to use it in the other arenas that God wants to move in? Oh, Lord. So God is going to help us today. Get my little pulpit so I can get down here so I can teach today. I'm going to teach or preach. Preach or teach. By the way, this young man told me 12 o'clock is not good enough. He said I could preach till 2 a.m. So if I preach till 2 a.m., I just give yesterday's message and we'll be done. Turn around and tell your neighbor, we're going to talk about the anointing of God. And I believe with all my heart, God's going to anoint us afresh in this house. Actually, I laid on the couch just trembling, because I said, God, I want it. Anybody who preaches understands you're just a flow through. You're not all that. And so I'm not ignorant. What God says for one, He says for all. And just because I'm preaching it don't mean I got it. Because I'm only a messenger. But you better believe if He pouring it out, I'm going to be in line. I'm just letting you know, at a certain point in this service, you on your own. Because I'm going to get mine. I just want you to know that. I'll be looking for Pastor Eastman to pray for me. I'm not joking. I'm not joking tonight. I'm not. God said a fresh anointing. I need a fresh anointing. I do. You ever preach so much and pray so much that sometimes you feel like you're going on fumes? You ain't got to say amen. But there comes those times that the Bible says you ought to know your hour of visitation. You ought to know that it's not every day that God sends down like fresh anointing. That's just something that happens. But when you get people who hunger and thirst after righteousness, and the thing that I love about God is it don't have to be a whole lot of people. He said, if I can get two or three just to agree. Amen. I believe we got more than that in the house. Turn in your Bible for I never quit to 2 Kings. I like kings. You know, one of the people asked my son. My son is 2 years old. No, what is he? He's two, right? I get them all mixed up now, my everything. Yeah, he's three. He's going on four. So they asked him that. He said, you going to be a preacher like your daddy? I'm smiling, waving him to say, yeah. He said, no. Well, he looked at him and said, well, what are you going to be when you get older? He looked up and said, five. Yeah. So I'm just claiming the five-fold ministry, just turning it around. Amen. Somebody says, what if he don't be a preacher? I said, well, he don't got a choice. It's in his blood. They said, well, what if he wants to be a race car driver? I said, well, he'll never be late to church. Amen. Amen. He's just going to do what God wants him to do. Don't matter. We too many times become one-dimensional. As if like you can't be more than one thing. And we've robbed ourselves in Pentecost because of it. Ain't nothing wrong with you being a doctor. If you want to be a doctor, you'll be the best doctor in the world because what you couldn't cure, he could heal. I mean, it's just... You could have your own bakery business. Why can't you be a pastor and own your own car dealership and you walk away with all the money? Why do we got to be one-dimensional? How come you... Who said that you was just one thing? You know, God is... Lord, I'm just so far off today, but you told me to, and you're the authority, right? Rachel was the authority yesterday, and Pastor Frazier was the authority when I first got here. Whoa, who's next? Who's tomorrow? But no, God is a creator, amen? And He's our Heavenly Father. And so, you've got His DNA. In other words, there's traits in your character and in your spirit that comes from God Himself. It's the reason you act the way you do and you try to change it because sometimes you feel a little goofy. But God made you that way. or there's certain things about you that you want to change, but it's the very thing that brings victory to your life because it makes you an individual. So you got to learn to love yourself and love the way you look and love the way you sound because God made you special and ain't nobody like you. In the world, what they do is the world makes images and they go, this is a man, and they go, this is a woman, and the whole world runs after trying to be like that. And so you get thousands of people in the gym every day, no life, rah, trying to be that. And then they die at 70, but they spent 40 years in the gym, don't live their life. Wasted their whole life. Now, I'm not saying I don't need to visit there once in a while, church. I'm not saying that. A good treadmill never hurt nobody. I tell you what, I could run a whole lot faster if there was a bear chasing me. Amen. You said there's a bear by that fence. I believe I met that bear. I lose weight. Bless the Lord. I believe that would encourage me to run just a little bit faster. I just do. I don't need a motivational speaker. I need a 500-pound bear. That where I come out. Oh, my God. I believe I can run faster than a gold medalist at the Olympics. You put a bear, I'll be first. But Lord, let me stop. But it's true. And then they try to say, for women, this is what you got to be. And that's how come if a young lady is a little bigger than what the world says, then she's not happy with herself. Everybody ain't a size 4. Everybody not a size 6, okay? Some ladies got bigger bones than others. You couldn't be a size 6 if you never ate in your whole life. All the big people ought to shout amen. I'm just saying. I'm trying to help you out. I'm trying to make sure you get a biscuit when you get home. I'm trying to make sure you feel good when you go to Dunkin' Donuts. I'm saying, yes, we should be healthy, but first of all, you should be happy. Amen. And not let the world dictate who you should be. You know what I'm saying? Because it becomes a control. And then a lot of young girls, they don't think they're beautiful unless they paint it all up, tighten it all up. The devil is a lie. God made you beautiful. He made you in His image. You don't need nothing else but the way you look, and let the glory of God be upon you. That's enough, baby. And if the man who's coming after you can't see the beauty of God in you, let him keep on walking. Because he don't deserve you. He don't deserve you. And too many girls, they get pregnant out of wedlock because some boy talking about, well, I love you. No, he don't love you if he's trying to fill you up in the back of somebody's car. That ain't love. He don't love you if he's trying to do what the Bible says he shouldn't do. Come on here. That's not love. That's lust. That's a whole nother thing. And so the world will try to get you to be something. But the thing is this. When you put yourself up as another, following another image, then everything that comes with that image is attached to it. See, and that's how come a lot of times a pastor can tell what type of music you listen to, because your character starts to change. You watch somebody. I like what they said, that flyer. We don't want no dresses cut low. Because there's a spirit that comes with it. I'm just telling you. And so that's why they said, look, no, if you're sitting, you're coming here for the first time, I ain't trying to hurt your feelings. And that's different because you ain't saved. But when you're saved, you ought to know better. I'm just, and they don't got no clothes. Yeah, they do. It's hard to find clothes. Then get some material and make your own dress. Oh, Lord, let me just stop. Let me just go to 2 Kings. See, and that's another thing. We talk about there ain't no clothes, right? That's a good time for somebody to use the anointing of God to start your own Christian clothing line so that these girls can buy some clothes. You make more money than anybody else because ain't nobody doing it yet. You know how to sew? Start a clothing line. Yep. Call it To Your Ankles. Yep, right there. To Your Ankles Incorporated. Amen. www.ankles. There you go. Right there. I'm giving you your business. You'll be famous. You'll be on Oprah, you. Well, maybe you don't want to be on Oprah, but still. But seriously, you could do that. Because even when we live at home, they can't find clothes nowhere. But somebody in here know how to sew. Somebody didn't know how to make dresses. Why don't you capitalize on your talent? See, a lot of times we limit ourselves. We become one-dimensional as if God can't use. And here's the thing. If everybody loves your cookies that much, stop giving away the recipe. If everybody in the church is asking for your cookies at weddings, anniversaries, even wants your cookies at funerals, because your cookies make people feel better. That's some good cookies. Could you give me some when church is over? If they want your cookies at a funeral, you can make some cookies. But what I'm trying to say, if your cookies are that good, why don't you start a business? Why does Famous Amos have to have them? Chips Ahoy. Why give all the money to Oreo? You, get your cookie company started. I'm telling you, I'm making it funny, but I'm telling you a gospel truth, is that God put talents and gifts in the body of Christ, and we just give it all away. You let somebody get a hold of your great-great-grandmother's cookie recipe. See what they do with it. See what they do with it. See what they were. And I'm just saying that a lot of times we're looking for treasure and it's in the body. We're looking for gifts and we're looking for God to bless us. And we're saying, God, you know, I need you to send the money in, and it's sitting right in the chair. And it's in somebody's head. It's an idea. It's in somebody that should be writing a book. It's in somebody that can draw pictures and make wonderful Christian books for children. And the ideas are there, and the talent is there, and we don't tap into it and use it because we just say, "Oh well, this is nothing." But I want to tell you, what God put in you is special. Don't overlook it. Don't just step aside and just say, "Well, this is nothing." Because you got something in you that God can anoint. Okay. Turn out to your neighbor. We in trouble tonight, this boy. We just in trouble. Let's just get on anointing. That was free. Amen. That didn't cost you nothing but 20 minutes. Hallelujah. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 through 7. But we're going to learn to use, and I'm actually close to the end of this message, going to talk about how that anointing flows in different areas of your life. I have to tone it down to do it. I tend to get a little excited. But it flows in different areas of your life to fulfill God's purpose. It's not, because God, He does want wealthy people. But then when you become wealthy, you better remember the church. You better remember missions. And you better remember the kingdom of God. Don't get all those barns and then hoard it up. And see, I believe that's why that it was accountable unto that man, because he knew what he should have did with what he was storing up. Because God said, "This day your soul is required of you." He knew what he was supposed to do, but instead of giving it, he said, "I'm going to build up bigger and just hoard it all to myself." Don't do that. But allow God to use every talent you have for the kingdom of God. If there's something you know how to do, the church needs you. God did not call you to warm a seat. Okay, you say, "I don't know how to do nothing." Then help them mow the lawn so they don't got to pay nobody, or that Pastor Frazier don't have to do it by himself. Donate some time. Come on out here. This ain't just their camp. This is all yours. Donate some time. Help them out. Amen. Nobody told me to say this. Don't sweat. This is God. I'm telling you right now. Because you got talent, and we say we can't do anything. I'm saying there's something you can do. If you can draw, then go to your pastor and say, "I can draw. What can I do? Can I make flyers? If you can use a computer, can I help build a church website so that people can know where we are?" Whatever talent you have, you young people, you got a lot of talent and you got a lot of energy, and they teach you so many things in school. Use that in the church. "Pastor, can I help you write a newsletter that we can get out to the community so people can know what God's moving?" The brother's going to get up here Sunday and talk about everything that happened in Dominican Republic. Some of you are great writers. Get his story. Help them write it. Get it out. Get it around the world so that people can give. I'm trying to tell you, you have to use your talent for the kingdom of God. Some of you can use a camera. My God, then get your camera. Take pictures all over camp so that nobody else has to do it. I'm just trying to tell you, there's different gifts and talents sitting right here, and if we all use them for the glory of God, then the ministry will be magnified. Somebody clap your hands. That was free. That was it. Woo! You got a gift, and God wants to use it. And what you need to do, too, is why don't you take a pencil sometimes and write down all the things that you can do. Okay? That's your homework. Write down all the things you know how to do. I know how to cook. I know how to bake. And then I want you to make another list and say, how many of these things on this side am I using for God? Okay? Okay? And then everything that you're not using from God from that list, I'm going to challenge you. Move it on over to God's side. And watch your talent grow. That's your homework. Make that list. I sing. I play an instrument. I use a computer. List it all down. And everything you're not using for God, I'm going to challenge you. Move it on over to God's side. And let God use the fullness of your life. Okay, I can give an altar call right there. You know that? Because I'm not ready. I got some things on my list I need to move over to. I'm just telling you. God challenged me. 2 Kings chapter 4, Reverend Sanchez, stop. 2 Kings chapter 4, 1 through 7, let's read it. Come on, let's stand for the reading of the word. I lost my page, so you're going to be standing a little bit longer. Pastor Frazier, this is your fault. You invited me. And ultimately, it's your fault. No, you know I'm just teasing. You know I love it. Because how many know serving God is a joy? And being here is a joy. I am honored to be here. And I really can't talk too much on it because I'll cry. I know me. Why? Because Pastor Eastman is a hero. You are a hero to me. You are, because you are like a founding father of the faith, and you're strong. And when I talk to you, when I look, the only thing you want is a move of God. Pastor Frazier is the same way. And if I was you, young preachers, I would sit around. I told that to Pastor Frazier. No matter how tired I am, if he's talking, I just sit at the table, because he's always going to say something I'm going to take back home and preach. I'm just not telling him that yet. So I keep pulling it out of him. You want to know why? He has experienced things I've never experienced. He's lived. He's got a wisdom and a knowledge that I honor. And the Bible says wisdom does not go into the grave where we go. And so we got to take it from him. I got it. When I come around men like Pastor Eastman and Pastor Frazier, Pastor Coleman, you've been through some battles. Sometimes that you wanted to give up the war, but you're still here. You earned another stripe in the kingdom of God. I got to rub shoulders with you. I need what you have. And so I listen to you. I watch you play with my son. You know how many pastors that's your age, and I'm not saying you old, they just bypass kids. But you see the value in my son. You know what that does to me? That does a lot to me. I'm going to tell you, rub shoulders with these men. Honor these men of God and get the wisdom that they have, because you're not going to get it nowhere else. There are things that you get from God himself sovereignly, and there are things that you get in a church service when the Holy Ghost moves. But there are things that you can only get as somebody else imparted into your life because they experienced it. And so when I come, I look for an impartation. Pastor Eastman, you encouraged me to keep going to the fields. Because sometimes it's not easy to do that. Sometimes it's not easy to wave goodbye to your wife and your sons and to go. But when I see my forefathers have gone before me, and I see that you've done it, and then I look and I see all your preaching sons, you never have to preach one message to me. That right there is enough to tell me to keep going. When I drive away and my son is crying, I know it's going to be all right. I'm just telling you, before I even start, you have a treasure. You have a treasure right in the midst of you. Get around them. Get everything you can out of them. And sometimes it may come hard. And sometimes you may not understand why they make the decisions that they make. But if you understand that iron sharpeneth iron, and that their only desire is to propel you into the fullness of God, then you'll be able to take the instruction of God and you'll be able to run to it. And I love them, because not one time do I ever hear them say, or somebody can't do something. But when I watch them, everything is opening doors so that people can do greater. You don't find that everywhere. Let's lift our hands and thank God for them real quick. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you tonight to be in the midst of such great men and women of God. Father, we just thank you so much for your presence. Father, you know what you spoke to my heart today. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the oil of God. Hey, I thank you, Lord, for the anointing of the Holy Ghost. For Father, this anointing is going to go down and touch talents in people's lives. And you are going to anoint us to do more in the kingdom of God in this last day than at any other time in history. And God, this day, the anointing of God is going to quicken the dormant areas of people's lives. And things that have been sleeping in the spirits of your people are going to awaken and leap and arise and be anointed for service. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, so move in this place. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Let's read this word. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 through 7. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of prophets unto Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that my servant did fear the Lord, and the creditors come to take him unto my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what is thy in thy house? She said, thy handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, go borrow thee vessels abroad of all the neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. But when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons. Oh, Lord, help me move past this right now. And thou shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. And she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. And she came and told the man of God, and he said, go, sell the oil, pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. Isn't that interesting? First he said, set your sons free. Then he said, take this same oil and pay off all your debts. And then he said, and survive on the rest. Now let's back up. We'll go forward. I got to 2 a.m. I'm going to try not to use that time because Pastor David needs to get some rest. I'm thinking about you, brother. But they cried, the Bible says, a certain woman of the wives of the son of the prophet, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead. Amen. We read about a lot of dead people this week. What's going on? Don't know. But let me ask you this question. Have you ever had a dream that was deferred? Have you ever in your life had a plan and a desire, and you thought that plan out, and you thought that dream out, and you thought that desire out of them, and then you just, in your mind, everything was going the way you thought it should, and all of a sudden something changed. Because when I read this scripture, I find a woman who married a man of God. My husband is a prophet. She's got two sons. There's no doubt in my mind she planned her husband was going to be there all the days of her son's life to help raise those boys, to help train those boys, to help wean them up in ministry, that they too would not just become a son of a prophet, but maybe even be prophets themselves. I knew that must have been her desire. I knew that must have been her plan. But what a shock when she found out that this man that was so anointed by God, who worked with Elijah, who was a prophet, who heard from God, now died when her sons are still young. What do you do when your plan has fallen apart? What do you do when everything you hope for and everything you built just seems to shatter right before your very eyes? You know, it's not in a mother's plan to see her husband die and for her to raise her babies by herself. It's not in a woman's plan to get married to a man and for him just to run off with another woman and leave her alone. It's not in a father's plan to watch his son, who was once in the ministry, now backslid from God. That's not the plan. That's not the dream. That's not what I wanted to see. This is not what I hoped for. This was not the vision that God showed me. But somewhere along the line, what I thought was going to happen has crumbled right before my very eyes. What do you do when your dream crumbles? Have you ever had your dream crumble? See, because I have. Have you ever said, God, you know, you go to do something for God and you say, well, by this time the church will be full, or you know, by this time the ministry will be here, and by this time this person should be ready to take this over. But when that time comes, they're not even there no more. When that time comes, the church ain't even full. When that time comes, the people ain't even. Have you ever had a dream just crumble? What do you do? Because everything that she thought didn't happen the way she planned. But there was a key here, because her faith wasn't in people. I love my pastor. I love my church. But my faith, yeah, do I have faith in my pastor? Yeah. But my faith can't be in my pastor. Understand what I'm saying? Because here's the thing. I love you very much. I love Reverend Hammond very much. But I'll put all of my faith in him, and he fail, I'm done. And we put all of our faith in people, and when they don't live up to the mark, then we walk away from God. See? And then we're mad at God. Why did they die? Why did this happen? Why did they leave? How come I didn't get to go to college? How come I didn't get to go to the mission fields? God, I thought I'd have a church by now. And when your dream don't come to pass, you put more faith in your dream than you did in God. But your husband may have died. Your dream may have died. Your vision may have died. But your God is still alive. Oh, Lord, help me today. Your faith has to be in God. What do you do when you're in a broken home? What do you do when it looks like everything is falling apart? You get up and you keep pressing on. What do you do when it seems like everybody in your family's backslid and you're the only one? You don't die with the rest of your family. You get up and you keep pressing on. What do you do when your pastor backslid and ain't nobody to preach in the church? I tell you what you do. You get up and keep pressing on. Your God is still alive. She realized, my faith can't die with my husband. I gotta keep believing. When nothing is working, I have to keep believing when a dream is deferred. I have to keep believing when what I'm doing with my own hands don't seem to be producing the results that I thought that it would. But in the midst of it all, I gotta keep pressing on, because if I stay here, I'm gonna die. But if I keep pressing on somewhere, oh God help us. Turn around and tell three people, keep pressing on. It's in these times you got to know God for yourself. It's really nice that Pastor Eastman knows God, and Pastor Frazier and Pastor Coleman, and you know God. But let me tell you something. At 2:00 in the morning, when you can't cell phone nobody and all hell's breaking loose in your life, you got to know how to get on your knees and call on your God for yourself and know that your God is going to answer. I would love to tell you that every time you need somebody, they're going to be right there. But your mama's not omnipresent. Your daddy's not omnipresent. Your pastor's not omnipresent. But your God is. He is omnipresent. He'll be there in the morning. He'll be there in the noonday. He'll be there in the afternoon when you call it. She knew God for herself. But now there's a problem, because an enemy has come. Isn't it amazing how problems don't wait in line? Wouldn't it be nice if they, like A, B, C, D, E, F, G problems, you just could just deal with them one at a time? But problems flow like vegetable soup. All the letters come at once. It's not enough that her husband is dead. The creditor's coming. And you know what he's saying? I'm taking your inheritance. Your sons are mine. You owe me something. How would you feel now? Now the one you thought that was going to be around and protect you, the one that you thought was going to hear from God, the prophet, that could get a thus saith the Lord. He's no longer in the picture in your house. And now when a creditor comes, or now when the devil comes and says, your family's mine, you have got to get a hold of God now. Yeah. You see, it's real good. And Reverend Hammer talked about how the church prays to send people out. And that is so true. But let me tell you something. You go to Dominican Republic, and all hell starts to stir up there. You better know how to call down fire like the prophet. Because ain't nobody there with you but God. And it's in those moments when the enemy faces you head on. You got to know that the church is praying. And you got to know you got more power in you than what's happening around you. Because ain't nobody there to pat you on the back, sing out, fly away, or tell you it's going to be okay. You got to know on the inside that your God sends you and he'll help you. Now comes the time that she has got to know. Turn around and tell three people you got to know. You got to know. Because when these times come, you can't say, well, Pastor Frazier told me to go. Oh, Reverend Sanchez prophesied to me. Let me give you this. Yeah, I can prophesy to you. I can tell you're going to be a great God, and it will come. And it could come from God. But that prophecy could fail you. You want to know why? Not because of God, but because of what you do. Because prophecy is based on conditions. If you do what God wants you to do, he'll take you where he wants you to go. But if you don't do what God wants you to do, it ain't coming to pass in your life. She got to a place that she had to know God. The creditors was coming. Amen. But I like this woman. Turn around and tell your neighbor, say, Reverend Sanchez likes this woman. I like her because her husband is dead. She ain't got no money. The creditor is coming to take her sons, but she not letting them through the door. How do I know? By the scripture. She told the prophet, they came to take my sons. What is she saying in between? I ain't let them. In other words, this woman put up a fight. She was not about to let an enemy come in her house and take her inheritance. Turn around and tell your neighbor, sometimes you got to fight for what God has given you. Oh, y'all said that pretty weak. I need you to say that like you was a Pentecostal preacher at a national convention. Turn around and tell your neighbor, sometimes you gotta fight for what God. Because there used to be a day when the devil camouflaged himself. He was scared of coming to church. Now he dressed up like a church folk, sit on a pew beside you, and dare try to prophesy. Used to be a time where he crept up on kids and you didn't even know what the enemy's doing. Now he just do it openly on the internet. Do cell phones and Facebook and Bebo and all this mess. Yep, you may be in it, but I'm telling you where it goes. It's dangerous. It's very dangerous. I'll be honest with you, I'll probably get in trouble. Facebook is dangerous. It's very dangerous. Did you know that there are countries that they banned it in? Because it's opened up more rapes and kidnappings and suicides. Just telling you. Because you can reach millions of people on the internet. Be very careful what you do. Be very careful what door you open and what you let in. We give the enemy too much information. But this woman refused to let them in. Turn around and tell your neighbor, that's a good sign of victory. Knowing not what to let in your house. She said, you can't have my sons. So she fought for her inheritance. How much more do you need to fight for yours? You just can't give away to anybody what God has given to you. You have to learn to fight for what God has given you because what God has given you is precious. But understand what the enemy did years ago in the back door. He's bold now. He's coming to the front door and just say, give it to me. He's not even camouflaging. He's going to young girls and just saying, give me sex. He's bold in it. A front door approach. Give me sex or I'm leaving you. Have drugs with me or you're not my friend no more. Come on and waste your life and do this. Church don't mean nothing. They'll just dress like this. They don't even care. This front door. Front door. But what are they trying to take? You don't understand. They're trying to take your inheritance.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
Right through the front door. And then if we're not careful, then people will go, why don't you put this in the church? And why don't you put that in the church? You want to know why? Because that's a front door thief. Let me tell you something. Everything that people's doing in the church today is not God. And some people go, well, I don't want to go to that church. They old fashioned. They sing the old songs. They play the old organ. That's right. And they also going to heaven. Because all these new songs, some of them born straight in hell.
Oh, Lord have mercy. I know this ain't popular.
But I'm going to tell you what, the devil don't mind people going to church singing whatever song he do. He's not worried about that. But he's worried about you keeping a standard of righteousness, living holy, preaching the gospel, getting filled with the Holy Ghost, and getting souls saved. Now he's concerned. But he don't mind a meeting place where you just talk about Jesus and have a club. But he's worried when somebody rises up and say, you cannot come any further. See, understand that. Because that's what that woman did. They come to the door. Oh yeah, that devil can come to that door. But it's up to us whether we let him in. The devil can come to the front door of your house. But it's up to you whether you let him in. You have to make up your mind to draw a line in the sand and say, devil, let me tell you something. You cannot cross this line. You cannot come any further. Can't nobody do that but you. You got to make up in your own mind. The devil can't have my son. The devil can't have my daughter. The devil can't have my husband. The devil can't have my wife. Why? I know God and I'm drawing a line. You make the determinant factor of how far that enemy goes. She now stops the enemy from coming in the house. That's the first sign of victory. Stop him from getting in your house. All right, can I give you this for free? Your kid's room and your house belong to you. You can go through any drawer you want. You can go to any book bag you want. They don't own nothing. Don't you trust me? No. No, I don't trust you. Because you're young and you're still growing. And I'm going to check and I'm going to search. You want to know why? That's my job. My job is to know what you're doing. My job is to know who you're talking to. You got a stutter? When you get off the phone, you don't need a cell phone no more. Who are you talking to? You sound like, what's that bald-headed guy on Bugs Bunny? Yeah, Elmer Fudd. You got it. You get Elmer Fuddish. You get the spirit of Elmer. Give me the phone. You start hiding things. Give me the phone. It's your job to keep it out of your house. It's your job to command sickness to get out of your house. It's your job to command poverty. Get out of here. I have an inheritance. You have to fight for it. I'm not going to stay there because I got to move. So now she does the next thing. She goes to the prophet Elisha. Okay? She runs to him because she knows, she recognizes leadership. And that's how come you got to be careful. Yes, there are things we go to God for. And she did everything that she could do in her power. Now she's going a little bit further. She's running to the prophet. And now she says this in 2 Kings 4:2. She says, she goes to him, and Elisha says unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in thy house? And she said, thy handmaid hath not anything in the house. Isn't that amazing? I believe to a certain degree, this woman was telling the truth. Why? Because of the amount of debt she had to pay off. It is a possibility that she might have sold everything in that building to try to get enough money to deliver her sons. Can I ask you this question? Are you willing to give up everything you got to get a hold of God? If it came down to it, would you be willing to give up your house and give up your car and give up your great collection and all the things that you love so dear that you may obtain God? Because when push came to shove, her inheritance meant more than her natural possessions. And sometimes we get so deep rooted in possessions that it's going to be those very things that keep us from glory. Oh, help us, God. Because, and that's how come some people, they work and work and work. I like what Pastor Frazier talked about. Sometimes people can't pay their tithes because they don't manage money right. I was just in a store with my wife, and I said, and we was talking, and we said, the problem with most of us in America is we want to buy more than we have money for. Pray for me, because every time I go to Walmart for one thing, I come out with 10. But they got good deals. But the question is this: am I willing to give up everything that I own to hold on to what God has entrusted into me? Because that's the thing. I believe with all of my heart that she probably sold everything that was in her house to make sure she kept a hold of that which God entrusted her with. So now she said, I ain't got nothing because I gave everything up so that I can keep a hold of what God has given me. She understood that if I don't get these boys free, they're going to be slaves to a society, slaves to a devil, spending their life paying off some debt to some man and not doing what God has called them to do. And I'd rather give up everything I own than to see them a slave to this world. Can I ask you this question? How bad do you want your kids free? How bad do you want your town free? Because before the devil can get your town, he got to come to your door. Because he knows that you're the one that God said if you put your foot there, is yours. Are you willing to get rid of that TV to grab a hold of your inheritance? Are you willing to get rid of that video card to grab a hold of your inheritance? Oh, Lord, help us. Are you willing to get rid of all the distractions that are in your life that keep you from hearing from God that you may obtain your inheritance? Because if you don't, there's creditors that's coming for sons on your watch. There's creditors who's coming to imprison your sons because they don't see a prophet. The pastor ain't watching. Turn and ask your neighbor, what are you willing to do? She said, ain't got nothing in the house. Ain't got no more to give. There's nothing left that I can do. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever exhausted all of your resources? Oh, God, help us today. Have you ever been a pastor and you tried to help a couple and tried to help a couple and you read books and bought tapes and talked to other pastors, but everything you said, nothing, what? Ain't nobody going to be honest today, but that's okay. I'm going to preach to you anyway. Have you ever strived to do something and you just, and then everything you tried to just seem to crumble in your hand and you saw no other way out? Am I the only one? I just want to know. I mean, you tried everything and finally you just said, we got to leave it in the hands of God. Am I talking to anybody? Because I just need to know, because I just want to make sure that me and her ain't the only ones. Because she said, ain't nothing in my house, ain't nothing left to say, ain't nothing left to do, but there's still a problem. And that's why I'm coming to you, because I've exhausted my resources. There's nothing left for me to pray. My husband is dead. I'm trusting God. I sold everything in my house. I don't know what else to do. I don't know where else to turn. But there's still a problem, but I need an answer. What do you got in your house? Nothing. Save a pot of oil. She remembered there's a pot of oil and it was still in the house. I forgot about it because it was high up on the shelf. Whose oil was it? It was Daddy's oil. It's what he used when he went out with Elisha. It was Dad's oil that he used to fill in the ram's horn. It was Dad's oil that he used to burn the midnight flame and it kept it going. It was Dad's oil that he used to anoint the sick and watch them be healed. I forgot all about it because Daddy saved it. And Daddy said, one day I won't be here, but the oil will still be in the house. And the day you need it, it'll still be. Tell your people, there's a pot of oil in the house. High five three people and say, the oil is still in the house. I said, high five three. You only did one or two. I said, high five three. I said, the oil is still in the house. I want you to get that in your spirit. The oil is still in the house. The oil is still in the house. You may have forgotten about it. You may not realize it's there. You may never use it in your life. But I come to tell you, it's still in the house and it still has power. You may have forgotten about it, but Daddy left you oil. Turn around and tell your neighbor, my daddy left me some oil. I thought when Daddy went away, because he didn't leave me money, that he forgot about me. I thought when Daddy went away, because he didn't leave us houses or land, that he forgot about me. But what I didn't realize is that even though Daddy was gone, he left me something greater than a house and greater than a car, greater than silver, greater than gold, greater than all the riches of the world. Daddy left me a pot of oil. Wow, good God Almighty. High five three people say, Daddy left me a pot of oil. Daddy left me not a drop, not a trickle, but a whole pot. Just laugh at the devil. I got a pot of oil. Wow! Look at your neighbor and say, I'm going to use some of it tonight. Because you may have forgot about it, but I'm here to tell you, it still works. I heard Pastor Eastman say, we just came back from Dominican Republic, and even though they speak Spanish, something tells me on the inside that the oil still works in Dominican Republic. I heard the missionary say this morning he went to Zambia, caused a girl who couldn't walk to get up and run across the room. You know what it tells me? The oil still works. Oh, come on, Shanamahaya. I heard 2 days ago a boy came to the altar when Pastor Fraser preached about keepers of the flame and got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. You know what that tells me? The oil still works. Woo! Shake these people's hands and say, the oil still works. It still works. It still works. Shake three more people's hands and say, the oil, it still works. Shake three people's hands and say, oh, it still works. It still works. Over 2,000 years, it's been in this pot, but it still works. Yeah, Paul had it.
Peter had it. Jeremiah had it. Moses had it. But it's still in the pot. And it still works. Wow.
It's in the house. Pastor Coleman, I want the devil to know I'm saying this. The oil is still in the house. I want the devil to know because he may run out the door. Reverend Hamlin, I got to tell you a secret. The oil is still in the house. I just tell you that because there's people who need to be delivered, and there's people that need to be healed, and there's people that need to be filled with the Holy Ghost, and there's devils that need to be casted out, and there's preachers that need to prophesy, but they can't do it without the oil.
Yeah.
But the oil,
glory to God.
It may be on a shelf. It may be in a pot, and your trials and tribulations may have caused you not to see it, but the prophet came to remind you, what do you got in the house? You may say, we ain't got nobody. We ain't got no Sunday school teachers. We ain't got no youth group. We ain't got no organ player. We ain't got no bass player. We don't got the finances. That's all right, but what else do you got in the house? We still got a pot of oil running up in that house. My God, we still got a pot of oil. If you take everything we got out of this house, we still got a pot of oil. It's in the house. That's right. I came all the way to Revival Center. Bible camp to let you know the oil is still in the house. Yeah, Jesus said, I'm going away. But if I depart, I'm going to send you another comforter. And when it comes, he's going to fill every pot. He tell you, but Reverend Hamlin, Matthew is gone. Peter is gone. Thomas is gone. Paul is gone. Stephen is gone. A.A. Allen is gone. Amy McPherson is gone. The old time fathers of the day are gone. Even Brother Miller, who helped start this ministry, he's gone. But I got news for you. They left something still here. It's a pot of oil, and it's still in the house. There's a pot of oil, and it's still in the house. What is you want to know why it's in the house? Because it's attainable to whoever wants it. Turn around and tell three people, if you want it, it's in the pot. The anointing. Oh, Lord. It's already going online, but that's okay. I'll wrap this up by tomorrow. Praise God. What is the oil? It is the anointing of God. It ain't supposed to stay in the pot. It's just in a holding place. It's just in a resting place. It's just waiting for somebody to say, you really don't belong in this pot, but you belong in my life. It's in a holding. It's waiting to pour out on somebody that says, I want it. That's my prayer today. I want a pot of fresh oil to pour out on Kabashanamahaya. Oh, I better leave that alone because move, preacher, move. Come on, somebody say move, preacher, move on.
Yeah.
It's a good thing I said move, preacher, move. I was in one church, they said preach, fat boy, preach. Amen. Amen. The oil is the anointing. Talk to anybody. I need the anointing. Turn around to your neighbor and say, I need the anointing. You can have church, but without the anointing, you're just having a party. You can sing, but without the church, you might as well be on American Idol. The anointing means to be marked or painted with an oil-type fragrance that attracts both the favor and the presence of God. Wherever the anointing is, God is present. Because the anointing is the abiding presence of God. Or the anointing is the miracle working power of God. So when you see the word anointing, it is an action word. The anointing doesn't come upon stagnant people. The anointing comes upon doers of the word. It's an action word. It's a creative word. It's a powerful word. So when the anointing comes upon you, and it comes upon you because there's a purpose.
All right.
It's very important to understand that God never anoints the flesh. So the minute you do your own thing in the service, the anointing is lifted. That ain't popular. That's true. The anointing never touches the flesh. Not even in Leviticus chapter 14 through 16. You understand that God anoints the ministries within man because the anointing was never allowed to touch the flesh. The anointing works alongside of the prevailing blood of Jesus because they had to dip the thumb in the blood and the anointing went on the blood. They dipped the toe into to the blood and then the anointing hit the blood. What makes you a candidate then for the anointing of the Holy Ghost? The day you get washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is the very day that the anointing of the Holy Ghost can come upon your life. Without the blood of Jesus, you ain't got no anointing.
Glory to God.
Woo! Trying to tell three people, I need the anointing. Why the anointing? Because only the anointing will destroy the works. Watch that. The works of the devil. Watch this. Because up until this generation or dispensation, they could only stop the devil. But they could not destroy his works. But when Jesus came, died on the cross, shed his blood, and the temple veil was torn in two, it allowed normal men to be able to step into the holies of holies. It is here that an anointing comes upon me, not just to stop the devil, but to destroy his works. Because here's the thing. A lot of people come to the altar, amen, and they get a touch from God, but the devil's still working in their life with some form of iniquity. But there's a new generation coming on the scene that won't just stop the devil, but have the power to destroy his very works in the lives of those. And so now that we're able to go into the holies of holies for the first time in thousands of generations, Jehovah was able to step out. Because God could not step out. He dealt with one people. He dealt with one nation. But when that temple there was torn in two, we didn't just come in. But God came out and said, now whosoever will can drink of this water. Black people, white people, Chinese people, Dominican Republic people, Russian people, whosoever will can drink of this water freely. And now my spirit can pour out on all flesh. So now, this generation can stop his works. Did you understand that? That you can stop the workings of the devil in the area that God has given you dominion. You got the power to look at that porno shop and say, I command you in the name of Jesus to close down. I'm telling you, we need to start doing that more. We got the power to stop his works. Also, the anointing breaks yokes. And a yoke is a chain that's on people's lives that pull them in places they don't want to go. It's a yoke. But the anointing breaks that yoke that the devil has on people so they can be saved, healed, and delivered. Here's the biggest thing the devil does is when you get a title, oh Lord, okay, here we go. When you get saved, if you don't deal with your weaknesses, if you don't deal with those different things in your life that you know that's not pleasing to God, as you grow, so does that thing with you. And if you're a liar when you got saved, and you don't change, when you become a Sunday school teacher, you're still going to be a liar.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
If you're a thief, when you get saved, yeah, God forgive all the rest of your sins. I'm talking about the works now. If you don't, after you get saved, if you don't let God deal with that thing in your life, as you go along in church when an opportunity presents itself, you're still a thief. Because you didn't allow God to do a deeper work. And so here's the thing. We got these different things in our lives. And sometimes God will shine something on you. You go for 10 years, you didn't even realize it. And God will shine on an area of your life. But now because of position, you won't go to the altar. Because somebody's looking at you now, so you got too much pride.
Oh, Lord.
And so you rather go to hell in your condition.
Oh, Lord.
Than to let God deal with it because of pride. But God is shining a light on it so that he can get rid of it out of your life, because it's these things that really stop us from getting into the places that God wants us to go in. And so now, as we look on, it says, it breaks those yokes or snaps it for a moment for you can make a decision. Because if you don't run to God when you leave that church, that yoke going to be on you again and probably seven times worse. Turn around and tell three people, don't play with God. Talking about the anointing. God has anointed his church to carry out his will, save souls, establish, develop ministries, build his kingdom. With the anointing comes five keys that I'm not going to get into today because we'll be here really all night. One is power. Two is prosperity. Three is protection. Four is provision. And five is purpose. Because with the anointing comes a purpose. He doesn't anoint you in vain. He doesn't touch you in vain. He doesn't quicken you in vain. God is not a vain God. In order for me to live a victorious Christian life, I must be anointed by God. So I'll tell your neighbor, if you're going to have victory, you've got to have anointing. Without the anointing, I can do nothing. I am not effective for God, and I'm no match for the devil. You can tell me, well, I can go out there and don't have to serve God and do whatever I want. Yeah. That's a lie. The devil's a lot stronger than you when you're not in God. Jesus said to his disciples, look, I'm leaving, but I'm sending some oil in the house. Tarry in that upper room and wait till the pot tips. Wait until you be endued with power from on high. When you're anointed, it's no longer about you. It's no longer about your family. It's about him. and he gets all the glory. You put God first. When you're anointed, you won't rob God, but like Pastor Eastman says, you'll pay your tithes and give your offerings, because the real truth of whether you believe God or not is not by your gift, it's by your giving. Oh, Lord. Because if you can't believe God in that one scripture, you don't believe the rest of the Bible either. Turn around and say, neighbor, that was free. Say amen or ouch, either way you felt it. Amen. When you're anointed by God, you become a faithful worker. In other words, you just don't get excited about something for 2 weeks and then we don't find you on the third week. Because now you done got bored with it. But you stay faithful to the end because God's anointed you to accomplish a task. When you're anointed by God, you don't have time to gossip. You don't have time to be on the phone, spreading rumors. Did you hear about Brother So-and-so? Because you spend more time in prayer than you do on the phone. Because prayer changes things, not gossip. When you're anointed and God sends you to start a church, you don't go to churches trying to steal other people's members. Because you're going into a lost world and you're winning them. When you're anointed by God, you don't run from devils, you cast devils out. Not like me, the time that I was in Democratic Republic of Congo. And they was sending me there to do a conference, and they said, if anything happened up, any devil start to try to manifest itself, you deal with it. I said, no problem. Don't say no problem. My wife always tell me, don't say what you're not going to do. Because I said, oh, this is a good week, Abby. I ain't got to do nothing. She goes, don't say that. Next thing you know, the phone ring and I'm preaching 3 days that week. I'm just, yeah. And so I'm sitting there and the meeting is going on, and our leader of the Democratic Republic of Congo, he's actually preaching in the Ivory Coast. And all of a sudden, in the middle of his preaching, this big man. And why everybody got to be bigger than me? It was a big lady yesterday. Okay. He jumped up screaming and growling and going crazy. I'm sitting there, you know, taking notes, and the pastor and goes, says, in the middle of this preaching, he goes, we're going to take a 5-minute break while Reverend Sanchez go down there and cast out that devil. I turned into Scooby-Doo. Scooby-Doo, right there. I'm saying, I know he didn't just say, I'm going to go down there and cast out no devil. So I started reading my Bible like I hear him. I'm like, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And he said it again. Reverend Sanchez is going to go cast out. This man, he is tearing up chairs, foaming at the mouth, his eyes is red. I know he's got to be kidding me. And then I pretended I did not hear him. I wish I could tell you that I was brave. I'm telling you, I pretended I didn't hear him. They tapped me on the shoulder, pulled me up out of the chair, and said, you got to go down and cast on that devil. So I'm thinking, okay, I'm in authority. The centurion, you know, he delegated. Let me delegate. So I got the microphone, making sure I was a quarter of a mile away from any trouble. And I said, okay, if we got any pastors here that got experience in casting out devils, y'all go cast out that devil, and then we'll go on with the service. I put the mic down, good Lord, within 30 seconds, they almost killed that man. They was pulling him this way, pulling him that way, slammed him on the ground, spitting in his face. They called on Jesus, thought I heard Peter and Paul somewhere in there too, but they was calling on every name you can think of, pounding him on the chest. The devil was fine, but they was killing that man. Finally, I said to myself, I got to go out here and do something, because if this man died when I was supposed to be watching the service, my pastor's going to kill me. I was more afraid of what my pastor was going to do than I was of the devil. So I jumped out in. I was like, wait, wait, stop. You're killing them. This is not the way. And I looked at that man, and I'm telling you, I didn't scream. I said, in the name of Jesus, I command you to come out of him. Thing was gone. Thing was gone because there was an authority there. There was a power there. And there was something that I learned that day. It don't come with feeling. You don't always feel the way you feel in church when you're anointed. Whoa, good God Almighty. Because David said, you anointed my head with oil in the presence of my enemies. So you got to understand that the time that you're most anointed is when you don't feel God at all. All you feel is the presence of your enemy. And that's when you got to know it don't come by feeling. It comes by power. Because here's the truth. Sometimes you don't feel it. I would love to tell you, every time somebody asked me to pray for them, I felt lightning bolts. It didn't come by feelings. I don't walk by feelings. I walk by faith. I walk by the word. You tell me to pray for you, I don't always got goosebumps running up and down my spine. I always turn, some of us lay hands on this in the name of Jesus, be healed. And I believe it. It's the word. The anointing don't come by feelings. To make a long story short, that man got saved, got filled with the Holy Ghost. We found out he wasn't even a pastor, just came into meeting. But God gives you power over devils and demons with that anointing. They're subject unto you. I believe I was talking to Pastor. I don't know who was I talking to. I was talking to so many people this week. But when we were young, my mother used to be in witchcraft. She'll tell you. But it was passed on from her generations. Her mother used to conjure up all types of spirits and speak things in people's lives. And my mother ran away from all that stuff. But those spirits follow our house. I'm just trying to tell you something. To such a degree, I would be in the room, and God is my witness, and that thing would just slam into the wall. And my mother would say, don't tell nobody because people are going to think we're crazy. And then at times I would try to leave the room, and things would pin me onto the bed, and I would literally try to get up, and I couldn't get up, and I would try to scream, and nothing would come out of my mouth. And my sister, my older sister, it was after, whatever it was after chairs would slide. And I would hear all types of demonic voices in the air. I was petrified. And my mother tried to go to different people for help. That didn't help her, it just made it worse. They put all types of statues and candles and different things telling that I was going to get rid of it. It magnified the problem. One day it came to my grandma's talking to us about Jesus and teaching us about singing the songs and glorifying God. So one day, me and my sister Mia, who was there was a spirit in the room. It was marching around, and I knew it was going to get us. We got on that bed, and we began to sing, Jesus loves me, this I know. Tears in our eyes. We didn't know him yet, but we kept on singing. You remember that? And that thing would march around the bed, and it would try to leap at us. For the Bible tells me so. And even though I didn't know who he was, there was something about that name, Brother Frazier, that kept that demon back. There was something about that name that would let that devil, it wouldn't let him touch us. And it came to a head of my mother. She ran to the room because she heard demon sounds in there. Before she could get there, it slapped her in the face and shut the door. And nobody could get out of it. We tried to scream. And I was on that bed. And that devil jumped on that bed. And I could see the footprints of it. And I said, oh God, please help me. And the devil said, if you call on God again, I'll kill you. I stood there in fright as I heard that thing growl. But there was something Grandma said that came back to me. She said, well, you don't know what to do. Call on the name Jesus. I was a little boy, 8 years old. I said, Jesus, help me. I called on that name Jesus. That devil left the room. He never came back, Brother Frazier. And I learned a long time ago, there is an anointing in that name that is over the very gates of hell. So I'm going to tell 3 people, there's power in that name.
His power. In that name. Somebody lift your hands. I feel the Holy Ghost. He's going to help us tonight. Somebody open up your mouth and praise Him. I feel the power of the Holy Ghost in here. I believe a pot of oil is going to pour out on believers in here. And the power of the Most High God is going to flood this off. Oh my God. Wow! This anointing. I just love Him. Because when I didn't know Him, there was still power in that name. He knew what God was going to call me to do. In Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and 19, we understand that this anointing don't come upon you to make you popular. So people can say, oh, you're a good preacher. And oh, you're a good teacher. I don't need all that. I'm just a servant. Amen. Oh, you do this. No. It ain't coming to build up your name. It's not coming to make you famous. It's not coming to make you pay. It's anointing you and making you a part of something bigger than an individual. You are a part of the living, breathing, anointing body of Christ, who is called from the foundation of the world out of darkness into the marvel. Oh, good God Almighty. Jesus says in Luke chapter 4, 18 and 19, He says this, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Turn around and tell three people, everything changes when the Spirit of God is upon you. Yeah. You don't sing the same when the Spirit of God is upon you. You don't preach the same when the Spirit of God is upon you. You don't pray the same when the Spirit of God is upon you. He says this, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because now we incorporate the word because, then there's a purpose in Him coming. He's not here to make me feel good in church. Oh yeah, He'll make you feel good. He's not here just to make us jump and shout, and we will jump and shout. I just love it. I can't help it. It's in my nature. It's like fire shut up in my bones. But the purpose is far more greater than that. It is upon me because He has anointed me. So now I must incorporate the Spirit of God coming upon me with the anointing of God, because you cannot separate the two. Where the Holy Ghost is, the anointing is there. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Turn around and tell your neighbor, get out of your world and preach the gospel. We'd have more people saved if you would start preaching. I'm not a preacher. Yes, you are. How do I know? It's the very reason He anointed you. Stop telling people, I'm not a preacher. No, you may not be a reverend. You may not be a pastor, but you better believe you are a preacher, because the preacher's inside of you. That the Holy Ghost is a preacher. He said, don't even think about what you have to say. In that hour, the Holy Ghost will give you the word. Oh, Lord, have mercy. If you would open up your mouth, you will fill your church. He's anointed you. You ain't but a pastor to do it. Ain't the pastor's job to fill a church. His job is to pastor the church. It's your job to fill a church. Pastors don't produce sheep. Sheep produce sheep. Turn around and say, neighbor, get busy and fill a church. Say, get busy and win the lost. If you're not out there testifying, you're in trouble. Get in the market. Get on the streets. Get some tracts. Fill your church. Stop crying, ain't no young people. Go to the park. Start preaching. Stop telling God what's not there. Go out and win them. He said, you're a fisher of men. He didn't anoint you to sit and hide. He anointed you to preach the gospel. Say, I want the church filled. Preach. Hit your neighbor. Say, you know what to do now. So do it. Watch this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He sent me to heal the brokenhearted. That's your job.
These people brokenhearted all over the world. Your job is to heal them. Only you can heal. See, a psychiatrist can try to ease the mind. Only the anointing can heal a broken heart. To preach deliverance to the captives. See, you got the power to loose people. To tell them they don't have to be addicted to drugs no more. You don't have to be a homosexual lesbian no more. You don't got to be addicted to drugs. You can be set free. How are they going to know? You're anointed to tell them.
Oh, Lord.
You didn't know I was commissioning you today, did you? Uh-huh. Because he's anointing you for a purpose. So you better know when you come to this altar, he's about to increase your assignment. He says this. The recovering of sight to the blind. Amen. That's not just people who physically lost their sight, but people who lost their way. Let me tell you something. Oh, okay. Let me move. Oh, Lord Jesus. Because we're not going to finish. But you have the power to cause people who was once blind and have lost their way to see and be restored back into the kingdom of God. Watch this. To set at liberty them that are bruised. Do you know what? You know what a bruise is? A bruise is a mark that's left from an incident that happened a long time ago. Still talking about the anointing to showing you what your purpose is. Did you know sometimes in a cold congregation you're dealing with people that was molested? Ladies who was raped, who never even told their husbands, or molested? And they live with bruises. They dress nice in church, but they live with bruises. Beside women who husbands left them for other women and they feel unworthy. But they come to church and sing, but inside they feel less than a woman because their husband left them for somebody else. I'm just telling you, there's people with bruises. And even though it happened a long time ago, you let something touch that thing. And they'll react. Because most of our insecurities come from incidents that happened a long time ago. And somewhere we become scared. And somewhere we become fearful. And somewhere we become insecure. And the minute that thing is touched, it manifests itself. Those are bruises. You can't see them. I cover them up. But the minute I touch it, it'll bring back the feeling. It'll bring back the moment. It'll bring back the pain. That's a bruise. Can I tell you this? Still talking about the anointing because you called to heal that. The greatest bruises people get is in church. That's the greatest bruises you get because in church you ain't got no defense.
Oh, Lord.
You got your armor down. You got your guard down. You got your shield down. So that's when you get hurt the worst. You want to know why most people leave church? They got bruised. You want to know how people leave a spirit-filled church? Somewhere something happened and they got bruised. And so then they leave the church because they no longer feel comfortable where they are because they don't want to get bruised again. And so now they're protecting the bruise. Rather than letting God heal, they run to protect the bruise because they can't take another blow. They can't exist. They can't get another broken rib. So they try to cover and they run. Because all hell could be breaking loose in your church. But if God don't tell you to go, you're out of the will of God. But when you've been bruised, it'll make you run. Because you don't want to get hit no more. But can I tell you that God can send somebody full of the Holy Ghost to heal your bruise? I don't care if you're from a broken home. I don't care if your husband left you. Baby, I know you've been hurt. You've been molested. You've been raped. Somebody took your pride. Somebody stripped you of your confidence. Somebody made you feel like you're worth nothing. But I come to tell you, the anointing is more than a hallelujah. It'll reach in your spirit. It'll go past your bone and marrow. It'll touch that hurting place. It'll heal your bruise and keep you from running. God has called you to reach into people's spirits and to heal areas they've been bruised. Turn around to your neighbor. We got to pour out the oil and use the anointing to its fullness. Watch this. You want to know why? The Bible says this He goes on to say, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. All of these things Jesus did was based upon the first one. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because I've been anointed to do all of this. The focus was on the oil. Turn around and tell three people, the focus was on the oil. You want to know why David was able to kill Goliath? He had the anointing. You want to know why the power of God fell when Elisha called down fire? Because he had the anointing. You want to know why Samson had supernatural strength? Because he had the anointing. In Matthew chapter 25, it talks about the five foolish and the five wise virgins. The five wise had oil in their lamp, but the reason the five were foolish is because they ran out of oil. Somewhere along the line, they had that oil, Pastor Frazier. Somewhere along the line, they did the work of God. But you preached it exactly right. They got used to coming to church. They got used to hearing preachers. They got used to mom and dad saying live righteously. And they forgot to come to the altar and get filled up afresh with the oil of God. And the one day they thought they could get away was the day the trumpet sounded. The focus was not on the lamp. The focus was on the oil. It's not a sin to pour out. God wants you to empty your vessel. He wants me to take all the anointing I got and pour it out of this service. But you better believe when it's the last drop, He's expecting me to lift up my cup and to refill myself with the oil of God. The focus is on the oil. Some people never come from oil, while others realize that without the anointing, I can do nothing. God needs you to be anointed. Why? Because you're going to have to do a couple of things with it. You're going to have to destroy your past to embrace your future. God says, I'm going to anoint you because you can't be controlled by people. Because when you get in position, then people will still try to control you. And when you become in leadership, you can't be influenced or controlled by family. Because I'm your son or your daughter or your wife or your husband and you're in ministry. I try to influence you at home. The anointing will cut the ties. And that's why God said to Moses, I'm going to deliver you from the people I'm sending you to. Because they can't control you. They can't lead you. You must be led by the Spirit of God. See, because, oh Lord have mercy. I got a few more minutes, right? And this is how come most of the time God loves it when a person starts a church by themselves. Just you and your family. Want to know why? Because you ain't got no drummer. You ain't got no organist. You ain't got no usher. You ain't got no board. It's just you and God, and you got to depend on Him for everything. And then God starts to add to the church organists and a pianist and a choir and a Sunday school teacher. But if they decide to do their own thing, you won't be afraid to rebuke them, reprove them, correct them, or check them. You want to know why? Because you did it without them. See, a lot of times when we become too dependent on people and not God, those people get in positions and they use it like a arm wrestling. Well, if you don't do what I do, I'm going to quit Sunday school. And then what you going to do? I'm going to take over the Sunday school class because before you was a Sunday school teacher, I was just a Sunday school teacher. And if I got to teach Sunday school, I'll teach Sunday school again and keep God in the church. So the anointing. You love people and you want God to use people, but you cannot be controlled by people. You must be controlled by God Himself. Deal with your past. Let God move with your present and face your fears. Turn around and tell your neighbor the anointing will help you face your fears. Because most people are afraid of face-to-face contact, one-on-one. They're afraid of confrontation. So they don't testify, and they don't deal with issues, and they don't do the things that they need to do. And so the devil makes havoc all over the world because we're afraid of confrontation. But the anointing will make you like Elisha. Call all the prophets of Baal and meet me right here. Turn around and tell your neighbor, you're going to face your fears. Turn around and tell your neighbor, you will never conquer what you fear to confront. Never. Never in your life. The anointing will also cause you to be a deliverer of the brethren. Turn around and tell your neighbor, God wants you to be a deliverer. Oh, yeah, Reverend Sanchez, I was so excited about the anointing, but you just keep giving me jobs. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I can preach you. The anointing is jumping and shouting, and you'll leave here and do nothing. But I'm deputizing you tonight. You're going to go out here and do a work for God. You're not going to be a bench warmer. You're going to be a doer of the word. You're going to get up with the anointing and do something. Everything that's on that list is going to move to God's side, and you're going to produce for the kingdom like you never did before. I got to do my job. My job is not to excite you. It's to propel you into the kingdom. In 2 Samuel chapter 23:20, I'm giving you an example, but I'm still on the anointing because I want to show you something. The Bible talks about a man named Benaniah. His name meant built by Jehovah, or God's property. He was the son of Jedidiah, whose name means Jehovah knows. He was the son of a valiant man who done many acts. The Bible says he slew two lion-like men of Moab. But it also says he went down and slew a lion in a pit in a time of snow. What causes a man to seek after a lion who's in a pit when it's snowing and it can't see nothing? What gives the man a courage to try to attack something that sees in the dark better than him? What gives a man an audacity to come after something that's stronger and faster and more ferocious and has sharp claws and can destroy him in a second? I'll tell you what makes a man do that. It's the anointing of the Holy Ghost. There's a lion loose. Yesterday was a bear. But there's a lion loose in your town. Who's going to go after him? Watch where I'm going here. There's a lion loose in your town. I can only imagine why he went after this lion. Because the Bible doesn't clearly say. So I can't really tell you why he attacked this lion. I can only imagine. And so, with that fact, he must have been a threat. He must have done something awfully devastating if one of David's most anointed and valiant men is going to take time to search him out to kill him. And so, I only imagine, Reverend Hammer, that this lion had a taste for human blood. Somewhere he would creep into the camp, and while a woman was trying to get water from a well, he was silent, he was swift, he was strong. He must have jumped out of nowhere and grabbed her, and all you could hear was her screaming in the bush, and all you could see was left was a blood trail. And everybody began to say, there's a lion on the loose. They must have sent men out and say, well, we got to get together an army
to kill the lion. So they got some fighters and had some spears and maybe had some swords, and they went after the lion. Probably 12 or 13 of them, only to be gone for 5 days. But only one man returns. He's only got one arm left, a bite mark in his side. He lives to say to one lion, killed 11 men, and I just got away with my life. There's still a lion on the loose. And now fear must have struck the hearts of the kingdom. There's a lion on the loose. Be careful where you go. Be careful where you... We don't know where he's coming next. He's like a thief in the night. He ain't got nothing good to do. He's only coming for 3 reasons. He's coming to steal. He's coming to kill. And he's coming to destroy. And somebody has got to kill this lion. Or one by one, he's going to kill us all. This lion had no regard for human life. He snatched a baby 8 months old in his mother's arms for breakfast. He has no regard for life. He snatched a 4-year-old daughter while you're walking with her on your way to synagogue. All that's left is a bloody dress, because he don't care about human life. He don't care who dies on drugs. He don't care who does suicide. He doesn't care about human trafficking. He doesn't care who he destroys. He doesn't care. He's a lion and he wants to kill. Somebody has got to kill this lion. Bible says it must have, because it said it was a snowy day, bad day to fight a lion. But somewhere that report got to David, there's a lion on the loose. He's stronger than we are. Can't no normal man, no normal man can match him. We tried to put an army against him, but he's got more power than they are. It seems like he can smell them before they get there. He knows where they are. He knows where they're coming. It's as if he doesn't even sleep. He's always roaming about, seeking whom he may devour. And we can't kill him. No man can kill him. Nobody can stop him. Is there anybody in the kingdom who knows God enough who can go into the enemy's camp and kill this lion? And David, look who he sent. He sent Benaniah, whose name meant God's property. The son of Jedidiah, whose name means Jehovah knows. He's sending God's property in Jehovah knows, a valiant man to go after a lion. Turn around and tell your neighbor, God wants you to face your fears tonight. Because there's a kingdom in bondage, because there's a lion on the loose. There's a school in bondage because there's a lion on the loose. There are teenagers in bondage because there's a lion on the loose. They can't see him. They don't know he's coming until it's too late and he's got them in the jaws. And the last thing you hear is a scream as he drags them into a pit which you call hell. So David says to his warriors, like God, who will go? And God said, David will go. Pastor Eastman will go. Pastor Frazier will go. Renee, you'll go. Kyle will go. Brother Coleman, you'll go. But you all busy fighting other battles. And I said, I need somebody else who understands that the anointing that's upon their life is greater than the jaws of a lion. I just need to know. And so now, Benaniah says, I'll go. And the day he decides to go, it's snowing heavy. He can't see no tracks now. His vision is blurred. He's totally dependent on God. Turn around and tell your neighbor, you can't do this on your own. Tell your neighbor, the anointing will lead you when you can't see. Because when you don't know where you're going, he's still a cloud by day, and he's still a fire by night. He'll still lead you in a time when you can't see. Pastor Eastman, it was snowing. So you know what type of season this was? It was a cold season for the church. There wasn't, Reverend Hammond, it was cold. There wasn't a lot of people on fire. He had to operate in the anointing in a season of coldness. When ain't many miracles happening, and a lot of people ain't getting healed, and a lot of people ain't getting saved, and a lot of people ain't getting delivered. You want to know why it's cold? Because there's a lion on the loose. But turn around and tell your neighbor, things are about to change. Tell your other neighbor, things are about to change. Come on, tell your other neighbor, things are about to change. Because the anointing that was in the pot just got on a man, and he's coming after the lion.
He's operating in a cold season. You ever got around a group of your real friends? Hey, let me talk to you for a minute because you gave me a... You ever got around a group of your friends and you know they're cold? They come to camp, but when church is over, you know what they do. You know how they live. You know they're cold. And then you have to operate in your anointing in a season of coldness. That means you still got to do what God called you to do. Even when everybody else is a candidate to be attacked by a lion. And so you'll go to the altar and cry and pray because you know there's a beast on their trail. Turn around and tell your neighbor, if you ain't on fire, there's a beast on your trail. You know, there's a lion after you. If we don't stop him, he's going to kill you. Because you don't know enough to get anointed to fight for yourself. Oh, Lord, help me today. I didn't mean to get in trouble. And so now, he's going after a lion in a cold season. He can't see nothing. It's awful cold. Ain't nobody praising God. Ain't nobody at the altar. Ain't nobody giving offerings. Because the lion got everybody holding their money in their pocket. The lion got everybody watching basketball on Sunday and not coming to church. The lion, oh, Lord have mercy. The lion's got everybody. I'm scared of what the doctor... It's the lion. He's got everybody fearful. And so now, he goes down. What could have possibly given a lion's position away? It must have been the cry of a victim. It must have been the cry of somebody screaming, help me! Help me, somebody! The lion has got me! Somebody help me! Oh God, please! God, please help me! I don't want to die! It must have been a cry!
Oh God, help me today. Can you hear the cry of the lost? Because the lion is dragging them to hell while the anointing is in the house. Help me, Holy Ghost. The lion is dragging them to hell
while the anointing is in the house, the creditors come and take your sons. He found the sound. But all of a sudden, he sees a pit. I got to jump into a place that other people would run out of in order to pull you out of hell. Every devil in hell is saying to Benaniah, don't you go in there. Don't you preach that message, Pastor. Don't you dare tell the people what they're doing wrong, or you're going to die. Don't you dare take another step. Don't you dare go to that altar. They're going to make fun of you. They're going to laugh at you. They're going to talk about you. You'll get up and run. They're going to laugh at you. Your cousins are going to laugh at you. Your grandmother and grand, they're going to laugh at you. If you run around the church, it's the lion. He's saying to you, don't come no further. Stay where you are. Exist where you are. Because one day, I'm coming for you. What you don't fight today will try to come and kill you tomorrow. You gotta kill it. See, I got a little bit of pride. Kill it today. You say, I got some issues. Kill it today. It'll try to kill you tomorrow. He goes past. He says, I don't care what the devil says. Turn around and tell three people, I don't care what the devil says. Turn around and tell your neighbor, I don't care what people say. I don't care what people think about me. I don't care if you laugh about me. I don't care if you make fun of me. I'm going to do what God says, because I want the anointed of Almighty God upon my life. God Almighty, help us. He jumps down into that pit. Good God Almighty. He can't see nothing. He can't see nothing. He can't see a thing. You ever been in the midst of a battle and you say, God, I'm fighting, but I can't see the victory, and I can't see the enemy, I can't see the beginning, and I can't see the ending? Has anybody ever been that way? But that's when I thank God for the anointed, because he said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. In a time when you can't see and it seems like you don't even know what's going on, his word is going to lead you. So in the darkness, he pulls out his weapon. Turn on and ask your neighbor, you still got a sword? Ask him, you still got a sword? Say, if you got a sword, raise it in the air. Look at your neighbor and say, I still got a weapon. Then I still got a weapon. Look at your neighbor and say, I still got something to fight with. Say, in the dark, I still got something to swing at. He pulls out his sword because he's anointed to kill a lion. All of a sudden, he hears some terrible growls. Bone-shaking growls that'll make you tremble in your very being. And all he sees in his pit is bones of those that have come before him. And now in the pit, he's face to face with his greatest fear. There's a giant lion in his path, and it only wants to do one thing: kill him. At this very moment, Moses' servant realizes one thing. Only one of us is coming out of this pit today. And it ain't going to be you. Turn around and tell your neighbor, there can be only one victor. That lion growls. As to say, ain't nothing you can do But his father's name is God's property. And he begins to start thinking, wait a minute. My daddy's God's property, so that means I'm God's property. And he starts getting a little bit of courage. Hit your neighbor and say, I'm God's property. And then he realized his name means Jehovah knows. And he says, wait a minute. Jehovah knows where I am. Jehovah knows what I'm about to do. And Jehovah knows how to kill this lion. And then he remembers, I'm anointed. Because sometimes it's the last thing we remember when we're faced in a situation. We deal with the problem. We deal with the situation. We use wisdom. We pray. We talk in tongues. We do all of these things. But we forget in the midst of all of those things, we're anointed already. Behind that lion is your community. Behind that lion is the infilling of your church. Behind that lion is the revival for your town. If you don't kill that lion, he'll kill every dream, every vision, every missionary, every Sunday school teacher. He'll kill one by one. He'll consume everybody because this lion don't die. But the servant of God realizes, I've been anointed to take out the lion. I want you to look at three people, shake their hands and say, God's going to anoint you to take the lion out. Benaniah now goes in a circle. Round and around, dealing with this lion. Till finally that lion leaps in the air to try to kill him. He lifts up the sword with one hand in the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And what he thought was going to take all night only took a second. What you think is so hard in the flesh is easy in the anointing of the Holy Ghost. What you think is impossible in the natural is possible in the Spirit of Almighty God. You think it's going to take forever to heal. You think it's going to take forever to fill your church. I'm telling you, pull your sword out in the anointing of the Holy Ghost and it will happen. 1 second. He picks up that sword as the lion jumps in the air and he drives that thing right through it and it falls right in half in his presence. Turn around and tell three people, it only takes a second to kill a lion. Turn around and tell three more people, it only takes a second to kill a lion. Add this, when you're anointed. Tell your neighbor, say, when you're anointed. I need you to preach to him because I need to drive that point home. Say, when you're anointed. Tell him again, say, when you're anointed. Come on, you ain't saying it like you mean it. Say, when you're anointed. Come on now. Tell them, when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, when you're speaking in tongues, when the Spirit of God comes upon you, I come to tell you, it ain't going to take all day to kill a lion when the anointing of the Holy Ghost is upon your life. It only takes a second to kill a lion because of the anointing. Wow!
turn around and shake about three people and say, I want the anointing. 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 Come on, tell three people, I want the anointing. I want the anointing. I wish you would tell three people, I want the anointing. I got some lions in Sunday school. They got to die. I got some lions in finances. They got to die. I got some lions in the church. They got to die. I got some lions of sickness. They got to die. It ain't gonna take all day to kill a lion. 1 second in the presence of God and your lion is dead. Turn on the second neighbor's hands and say, how you doing, lion killer? Come on, come on. Check three more people's hands and say, God is looking for a lion killer. God is looking for somebody who's not afraid to go to the crack house, not afraid to go to the drug house, not afraid to go to the cell house and let the world know I'm a giant killer. Isn't that what you did in Dominican? You killed a lion. God's looking for some lion killers. I ain't scared of no devils. I ain't scared of no demons. I'm not scared of AIDS. I'm not scared of cancer. I'm not scared of crack or cocaine. Because I serve a God. Jehovah knows. I'm God's property. You can put me in a pit with anything from hell. But come morning, I'm the only thing that's coming out. Because I got the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Wow! My God, somebody lift your hands and give God a shout. My God, somebody clap your hands and give God a shout of praise. Come on and praise Him. Come on and praise Him. Come on and praise Him. Open up your mouth. You want to know why? He fought the lion because it was on his watch. There's a lion loose and it's your watch. I told you, Peter ain't here. Moses ain't here. Paul ain't here. This is your watch. He cut up a whole Shanamahaya. Turn around and tell three people, this is my watch. Come on. Tell them, this is my watch. Tell them what you mean. This is my watch. And tell your neighbor, no lion in hell is going to kill anybody on my watch. I'll go into the pit with the sword of God and kill every lion that's on my watch. My God, somebody shout. Shake four people and say, I'm anointed by the Holy Ghost. Say, I got a pot of oil. I cut up all Shanamahaya. Say, I got a pot of oil. Come on, tell your neighbor. I got a pot of oil. Come on, tell your mama. I got a pot of oil. Tell your best friend. I got a pot of oil. I got the anointing. I got a sword. I got the Holy Ghost. Shout no more. That was weak. Shout no more. Kids leaving Sunday school backslid. Shout no more. Fathers backsliding away from God and not coming to church. Shout no more. Mothers giving up on God because their kids are backsliding. Shout no more. Pastors falling away from God. Shout no more! Evangelists quitting the ministry. Shout no more! Missionaries so discouraged they don't go back to Dominican Republic. Shout no more! People so discouraged they don't pay their tithes and offerings. Shout no more!
Young people commit suicide because the devil tricked them into thinking they ain't got no value. Shout no more! Young girls getting pregnant before they get married because they don't realize the value and the virtue they've got in their life. Shout no more!
No more!
No more!
No more!
No more!
No, no, no! No, no! No, no! No, no more!
Not on my watch! Not on my watch! Not on my watch! This is my watch. This is my hour. I'm anointed by God to kill the lion. Prophesy to about six people. If you got to get out of your chair and say the lion in your house, the lion in your church, and the lion in your town is going to die tonight. Yeah, 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 yeah. Come on, come on, come on, come on. He's got to die tonight. Come on, somebody. He's got to die tonight. His reign of terror is over. His reign of fear is over. His reign of poverty is over because of the anointing. Shake three people's hands and say, you're anointed. You're anointed. You're anointed. Tell them again, you're anointed. You're anointed. You're anointed. Tell them again like you mean it. You're anointed. You're anointed. You're anointed. But there's more oil in the pot. There's more oil in the pot. Greater work shall you do because I go to my Father which is in heaven. There's more oil in the pot. There's more oil in the pot. Turn around and tell about three people. So take it, 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 take it. There's oil in the pot. Take it, take it, take it, take it. There's oil at the altar. Take it, take it, take it, take it. Move this for me, Reverend. You can stay standing with one minute. He killed a lion because he was anointed. He faced his fear because of the anointing. That was the last thing I was talking about because it was the greatest. Overcoming Satan himself who tries to stop revival. There's a lion on the loose. But God said he's going to die tonight. A pot of fresh oil is going to pour. I don't know who God's talking to. But a pot of fresh oil is going to pour on believers tonight. Good God Almighty. Watch this while you're still standing. Give me a minute. And the woman said, save a pot of oil. He said, go get it. Turn around and tell your neighbor, stir yourself up. Say, I'm not going to give you no oil. Get your own. Stir yourself up. Stir yourself up. Preach to him for 30 seconds. Stir up the gift that lies within inside of you. Start to praise God. Start to rejoice. Start to get excited about the move of God, the work of God, the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Get your oil. Hallelujah. He said, go get it. You know where it is. Go get your oil. Your father told you where the oil was. It's still in the house. You still got time to fill yourself up with oil from the pot. She goes and gets it. Watch this. Get every vessel you got. If you got to borrow some. Come here, Joy. Because I'm going to show you what he's saying. You got so much oil that you got to go borrow vessels from Dominican because yours is full and the church's is full. So you got enough to pour in the neighbors. He said, go borrow empty vessels from Zambia and from Peru and from Dominican Republic and from Haiti and from Cameroon and from China and from Russia and from Armenia and from Arkansas and from Connecticut, from Alabama to Mississippi to New York City to Pennsylvania to Ohio to Washington D.C. to Florida to California to Dakota to Montana. Wherever you go, you can pour this oil because it works. Wherever it goes, it'll fill. Whatever vessel it touches, it'll change. Any life it comes in contact with. So go get as many as you can. When you get them, go back into your house. Shut the door. Turn around and tell your neighbor that means prayer. Because Jesus said when you pray, go into your closet. Shut the door. Because your Father, which sees you in secret, shall reward you openly. He said, start to pray. Turn to your neighbor, prayer tips the pot. You can't tip the pot on your own. It's got to be tipped by the Father. But prayer tips the pot. And he says, when you get in there, watch this. In the presence of your sons. Because this move that God is going to do, Pastor Frazier, ain't going to be a move of just the forefathers of the gospel. But God says, I'm going to do it in the presence of your sons. You're going to shut the door, and in the presence of your daughters, in the presence of your spiritual sons, I'm going to pour out my spirit. What he's saying is, this miracle is not going to just happen in church. It's going to happen in your living room. It's going to happen in your bedroom. It'll happen in your bathroom. It'll happen down the highway. It'll happen in a park. It'll happen in a prison. It'll happen in a hospital. Wherever you pour out, the Holy Ghost is going to show up in the presence of your sons. Why? Why, Brother Kyle, is God going to do this in the presence of sons? Because he wants the next generation to see that the old generation ain't crazy. He wants the next generation to see that we're not just talking about a move that God once did, so you believe in something that you never saw. So God says, now, for this next move, I'm going to cause the old man and the old woman to pour out the pot while you holding the pot. Because you're going to see the miracle that they talked about with your own eyes. And you're going to come out of the house saying, my God is greater than drugs. My God is greater than alcohol. My God is greater. Oh, my God is greater than devils and demons. My God is greater. I saw the oil flow by myself. Nothing is going to change in your life until you see the oil flow for yourself. You understand that? Until you see that oil flow out of a pot that you holding that once was empty and now you see nothing. And then all of a sudden something pouring into nothing. And it's getting filled. It is at that very moment, in that atmosphere, that your life is going to change. Because you will see with your own eyes what your forefathers have been preaching to you about. God says, I'm going to pour out this night in the presence of our forefathers. And in the presence of a youth. In every empty vessel. Every empty vessel you bring to God tonight is going to be filled. Watch this. Bring the pot of your church finances. Bring the empty pot of your youth. Bring the empty pot of your choir. Bring the empty pot of everything you've been desiring for God to do, and let God fill it. Watch this. Watch this. Then he says this. Watch this, Brother Cal, because then he says, now when every pot was filled, because all of us in here could be filled, just like in the upper room, they said they were all filled. And then that's why the overflow went outside and 3,000 got saved. But I ain't got time to go there. Okay, so now we talk about every vessel being filled. And God said, one of those pots is to set your sons free. One of those pots that you're pouring out is going to deliver your house. While you are at this altar today, you got people in your family that's not even in this church and they're not saved. But I come to tell you, one of those pots is going to deliver your house. My God, somebody lift up your hands and give God a shout of praise right there. He said this, set your sons free with one pot. It's going to loose them. And then guess what he said this? Live on the rest. Watch this. Whatever you put your hands to, I'm going to anoint. Because you're going to live on the rest. That was a rich woman. Probably started an oil company. Because her oil didn't run out. But I bet, guess what I believe she did? I believe she took that oil and set other people's kids free. She took oil and financed the kingdom of God. She took oil and blessed the high priest. She took oil and brought offerings to the house of God so that the house of God could be blessed. Because God's anointing doesn't just operate for us to kill devils and demons. It'll help us in school. It'll bless us in business. It'll help us become better builders. Whatever we put our hands to, the Bible says we'll be blessed. Isn't that what he said? I'll bless your going out. I'll bless your coming in. I'll bless your basket. I'll bless your storehouse. I'll bless your cattle. God said, this anointing is going to flow. And in the pouring out, he says, it will not flow. But when every vessel is filled, the pot stayed. In other words, it never runs out. So when those vessels get empty, don't forget, the pot of oil is still in the house. Somebody clap your hands for God. Somebody clap your hands. I mean, clap your hands like you know there's still oil in the house. There's still anointing in the house. There's still power in the house. There's still healing in the house. There's still deliverance in the house. The anointing. Wow! Somebody lift your hands and praise Him right now. I feel the power of the Holy Ghost. Lift your hands all over this church right now in preparation for the pot. He's getting ready to pour. The pot is getting ready to pour. The pot is getting ready to pour because the oil is still in the house. The oil is still in the house. Every vessel that comes to God shall be filled. Go on and keep praising. I feel that power of the Holy Ghost. Some of you may have to be carried out here tonight. Some of you may be slain out tonight. But keep pouring. Keep pouring. Keep pouring. Keep pouring. Keep pouring. As God is pouring into you, pouring into your ministries, pouring into your finances, pouring into you. Keep pouring. Keep pouring. Keep pouring. If you got to, in other words, if He fill you up that much, go and pour into somebody else. But keep pouring. Keep pouring. Because the oil is still in the house. The anointing is still in the house. The miracles are still in the house. The power is still in the house. The glory is still in the house.
Right now, if you're looking for that pot of oil to pour afresh on you, and you don't care what people think, you don't care what you look like, you don't care what happened to you, you're just looking for that oil to fill every vessel in your life, fill every vessel in your ministry, fill every vessel of your talent, I want you to come to this altar right now with your hands raised, talking to God, looking for the oil of God to pour out on your vessel, because it's still in the house. Come here, Reverend Hammer. Open up your mouth all over this church. I feel the power of the Holy Ghost is about to sweep through this place. You need more than yesterday. You need more than Sunday. There's a pot of oil with your name on it. Your daddy left you a pot of oil that's going to pour out on your spirit and fill up your vessel. Come on, come on, come on, open up your mouth. Open up your mouth and praise Him. There's a pot of oil that's about to be poured out at this altar. There's a manifestation of God. He's going to do in the midst of these young people. And the power God's going to give us to kill a lion. There's a lion on the loose in your school. There's a lion on the loose in your church. There's a lion on the loose in your town. God wants to anoint you to kill the lion. Go on, Reverend. Come on, come on, come on. Go in the house. Shut the door and start to pour. Go in the house. Shut the door of prayer and begin to pour out. Begin to pour out. Begin to pour out in the presence of God. Let your pot of oil get filled.
Anoint me today with fresh oil from the throne. I need more power in this last hour. Anoint me.